left off discussing the sugya of Lamed Hei Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that Rava shasei chamrei komale diyoma de pisa, and every Pesach Rava would see to it to drink wine in order to see to it that he could eat the matzah l'teyavon. Therefore, the Gemara tells us that you see that yain is gar as opposed to yain which is sa'id, and the Gemara says Pashim Shat Nesugias, we can see the difference regarding the amount of yayin. If it's a little bit, the Gemara tells us, if it's considered to be purta, then yes. If it's considered to be more, tuva, that's exactly what Rav in fact was doing. The need to see to it that the mitzvah of matzah is fulfilled appropriately, that the matzah is eaten l'teyavon, we pointed out is that is rooted in the Sugim Sachim and Daf Tzari Tessim and Beis, where there the Gemara tells us the following, the Isser of being Kovei Asuda, Samoch l'chashecha. There the Mishnah tells us that Erev Pesach, Samoch l'mincha, lo yochal adam ad shetevshach. We mentioned yesterday that Rashi and the Rashbam both comment that in order to see to it that one will eat matzah l'teyavah, that is what is driving that Isser of Kviyas Asuda, and Rashi and the Rashbam add the concept of Hidr Mitzvah, that this is considered to be a form of Hidr Mitzvah, seeing to it that a mitzvah is performed l'teyavah. You pointed out apparently that you see that there are different forms of Hidr Mitzvah. The classic case of Hidr Mitzvah, the sugya, for example, on Shabbos Nafkuf Lamed Gimel, always refers to Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. When a person fulfills a mitzvah, it should be Lulavna, Shofarna, Sukkana, all of those examples as a form of Hidr Mitzvah in terms of Cheftza Shel Mitzvah. Here, certainly, that is not the case. It's not that the matzah is Mahudar in any shape or form, but rather this is considered to be an enhancement of the Maisa HaMitzvah, enhancement of the Maisa HaChila, the Kiyum HaMitzvah. And apparently it would appear then that there are two different possibilities in terms of Hidr Mitzvah, one in terms of Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, the other in terms of the Maisa or Kiyum HaMitzvah. And we pointed out other indications, other makoros that bear out this point. The Tosos writes in Brachos and Afafalaf Mudeis, the same is true when it comes to Shomei HaKa'oneh, that even though one in fact could be Yotze, the Torah Shomei HaKa'oneh, nonetheless, Tosu says it is preferable to have Aniya Mamish. And Tosu says, Magdir, that that is a form of Hidr Mitzvah. Tosu writes that in that case of Aniya, Ika Hidr Mitzvah Tve. Again, in that instance, it doesn't mean in terms of Chevtu Shom Mitzvah, but even though it's possible, Latzei Sidei Chavaso Al Yedei Acher, through the vehicle of Shomei HaKa'oneh, but rather individual performance of the mitzvah is considered to be an enhancement. And that Tosus labels as a form of Hidr Mitzvah. Just as Shlichus is possible, but the Gemara tells us in the very beginning of the second paragraph of Kedushin that Mitzvah Bo Yosem et Beshlucho, the same could apply as Tosus writes, even when it comes to the concept of Shomei HaKa'oneh. And we pointed out the Chiddush of the Bir Halach and Tafresh Nun Vav, in the name of Prima Gadim, that a further form of Hidr Mitzvah, which is considered to be a Hidr Mitzvah not in Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, but in terms of Kiyum HaMitzvah, is Latzei Sidei Chavasa L'chol Hadeos. That even if Me'ikar Hadin, we will pass them like a given Shita, if it is possible to fulfill a mitzvah L'chol Hadeos, in such an instance, that Midas Hasidus is termed a Hidr Mitzvah. And the Halacha of the Prima Gadim there writes in Tafresh Nun Vav, the Chiddush, that since the Gemara writes in Bava Kama Dav Tes that Hidr Mitzvah is Ad Shlish, the same is true when it comes to this aspect of Yitzia Sidei Chavasa L'chol Hadeos, that a person is expected to spend Ad Shlish in order to do that. Above and beyond that, that would not be the case. Just as when it comes to Hidr Mitzvah, that would be considered to be excessive, the same is true when it comes to this element as well. And the possible chiddush as follows, that even within that sugyan Shabbos, that kuf lamed gimel, perhaps one could argue that there are two halachos of Hidr Mitzvah. The Gemara begins dealing with cases, for example, of Cheftza Shel Mitzvah, Lulavna, Sukkana, Shofarna. And then the Gemara tells us the same applies when it comes to Bris Milah, that even though Bris Milah, it is necessary to remove Rov of the Arla, removal of all of the Arla, that is considered to be, the Gemara says, a form of Hidr Mitzvah. What type of Hidr Mitzvah is that? Is that a form of Hidr Mitzvah in terms of Cheftza Shel Mitzvah? Perhaps one could argue no. But once you see that there's Hidr Mitzvah in terms of Maisa HaMitzvah, Kiyum HaMitzvah, in such a case, just as there's a possibility of Shlichus, but it is considered to be a Kiyum Mitzvah Ba'ofen HaMahudr, not to rely on Shlichus, or not to rely on Shomei HaKa'oneh, perhaps the same can be suggested of the principle of Bechol HaTorah Kula of Rubo Kekula. that even though we will apply Rubo Kekula when it comes to Maisa Hamila, but nonetheless it is considered to be an enhanced Kiyum of Kula Mamish, not reliance on the Rubo Kekula. And that the Gemara terms as a form of Hidur Mitzvah. Perhaps not Hidur Mitzvah in terms of Cheftish Mitzvah, but in terms of the Maisa Hamila, in terms of the Maisa HaGavra, two halachos of Hidur, Chefza in terms of Gavra, and as we mentioned, this fits in very well with the Rashi in Yuma, when Rashi points out the Maila of Hidur Mitzvah, Rashi comments, Tiferes Ba'aleha, Shemahadar Achar HaMitzvah, the splendor of the individual, right, who is seen to it to fulfill a mitzvah in a particular way. That certainly emphasizes the role of Gavra, not just simply in terms of Chefza HaMitzvah, but seeking out an appropriate Chefza HaMitzvah, that is considered to be a reflection of Tiferes Ba'aleha. So it's an interesting possibility of two halachos when it comes to Hidra Mitzvah. It's very unclear. Right? We start discussing this a little bit after Shir, to what extent Hidra Mitzvah is really Dindaraisa, Dindarabanan. It's Machlokas Rishonim explicitly in the Sugi and Sukkah, and Avtesim and Aleph, and Avhiralafim and Aleph, rather. That's where the Gemara discusses Lulav Tzarech Eged, that according to the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, Eged is necessary, Mikar Hadin Daraisa, and it's the Ikuva. According to the Chachamim, Lulav Tzarech Eged is a din l'chadchila, but b'dieved one would in fact be yotze, even if there is no Eged binding Lulav with the Hadassim and the Arabos. So Lulav Tzarech Eged, which is Hidra Mitzvah, that the Gemara is explicitly in Sukkah and Daf Yud Aleph, is only a din l'chadchila. What exactly does that tell you about Hidra Mitzvah? So the Ritva writes, Mefurish, and that's Sukkah and Sukkah and Daf Yud Aleph, that you see that Hidra Mitzvah is only a din d'rabanan. Because there the Ritva writes, if it would have been a din d'araisa, so therefore, why is it only the chachila? If the Torah says this is how to be notal dalad minim, and you don't do it, so how can you say that nonetheless you are yotze? So if the concept of hisnala from the mitzvos is drabana, then you understand very well. If, however, it's a din d'araisa, it should be likuva. So the Ritva is explicit that Hidra Mitzvah, in fact, is only a din d'rabana. Very interesting kiddush. And if you look at the Raivad, for example, right, and that's Sugya, the Raivad disagrees, the Pirish Raivad, the Hisag HaSan, the Rif, and the Balamor, where the Raivad writes that no, that Hidra Mitzvah is in fact a din daraisa, but it's explicit, the Machlokas are shown him. And that's an interesting Chiddush that the Ritva raises, that if in fact it would be Li'ikuva, then it's a din daraisa. If it's only a din l'chadchila, that's an indicator that it's only a din d'rabanan. This is L'shitase, the Machlokas between the Ritva and the Rashman Brachos and Daptezvav, where the Gemara says that when it comes to Kriya Shema Tzarech LaHashmiya LaAzna, that you have to hear yourself, right, pronounce the words of Kriya Shema. And we assume the halacha that that's only a din l'chadchila, b'di'eved, as long as you articulate the words, even if you're not Mashmiya LaAznacha, in such a case one in fact is Yotzi. So there as well, the Ritva writes, it's only a din d'rabanan. Because if this would really be a din d'araisa, how can you say that l'chadchila yes, right? It's necessary, but b'di'evit it's not necessary. In fact, you would be outside. It's an interesting chiddush. When you have dinim darais l'chadchila, when it's a milikuva, but it's an important issue that the Ritva raises, that Hidra Mitzvah is only a din drabanan. So the Ritva writes drabanan, the Raivad writes that sugi, it's a din daraisa. It's fascinating. If you look in the Rambam writes very little about Hidra Mitzvah at all. The whole Gemara that mentions lulavna, sukkana, shofarna, the Rambam does not mention at all. You don't find that in the Rambam explicitly. The Gemara Bava Kama and Daftes, Hidra Mitzvah Shlish, the Rambam does not quote that Gemara as well. The Rambam does quote Prati Dinim, for example, the Sugya and Sukkah and Daf Yir Aleph of Lulav Tzarech Eged. The Rambam writes Lulav Tzarech Eged. Whereas when you have a Din Misuyim that Chazal were Koveya, and the Gemara gives the reason for Hidra Mitzvah, so that the Rambam writes explicitly. But the Rambam doesn't quote the broader halacha of Hisnala Fana B'mitzvos. The only reference that you have in the Rambam is if you look at the very end of Hilchos Yisuri HaMizbeach. Right? The Rambam just makes a broad statement that a person should always give his best to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kain and Hevel. And if a person has the finest animal, that should be chosen as a karban. The Rambam writes, when you build a shul, for example, the shul should be nami beis yeshivaso, it should be nicer than your home. Don't build a palace to live in and build a home that is anything less than that. The nicer should always go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So in the very end, that's what the Rambam writes, that when you're giving, everything should be the choicest, the finest Lashem. But the Rambam does not quote in the halachos hamesuyamos, right, simply the halacha lulav na sofrana. The Rambam quotes, as mentioned again, the prati dinim, that when it comes to bris mila, you should remove the tzitzin, even she'en ma'pnes hamila. And the Gemara is asked because of hida mitzvah, din mesuyam. Or the Rambam writes the case of lulav tzarech eged, but the Rambam doesn't quote the broadest halacha. Perhaps one could argue that according to the Rambam, hida mitzvah is not a chiyuv darais or a chiyuv darabanan. Hida mitzvah, right, is midas chasidus according to the Rambam Shita. As the Rambam stresses in the very end of Hilchos, Yisrei HaMizbeach. After all, the entire pasuk, the source of the Gemara, Zek Keliv Hanveyu, Yisnal Lachon HaBemitzvos. Number one, we've discussed in the past that pasuk is Kodem Matan Torah. Even number two is that pasuk is not written B'derech Tzivui. It's not written as a Chiyuv. Right? Simply in terms of Shira Sayam, it's appropriate shira. So you see the appropriateness of Yisnal Lachon HaBemitzvos. But the Rambam does not quote it as a mitzvah d'araisa or as a mitzvah d'rabanan. If you look, for example, at the Me'iri, and that's Sugin Shabbos, and Av Kuf Lamed Gimel, there as well, when the Me'iri tells us the concept of Hida Mitzvah, the Me'iri uses an unusual phrase, the Derech Ha'ara Amru. That's what the Me'iri writes, Derech Ha'ara Amru. It's an observation, it's a note. Right? You should observe that the Torah says Zekeh Hanveyu. The Meir does not write a chiyuv, a mitzvah d'araisa, mitzvah d'rabanan, but rather the appropriateness. Now, if that's what the pasuk says, it's appropriate. It's similar to what the Meiri writes in the Sugim Sachem Dav Zayin and Dav Dalek when it comes to Zrisim Akdim in the mitzvahs. That they're also Vayashkim Avram Baboker. So the Meiri there also writes Zrisim Akdim in the mitzvahs, it's a chiyuv d'araisa, chiyuv d'rabanan. The Meiri writes it's appropriate. If the pasuk praises Avram Avinu for such performance, you see the appropriateness of Zrizus. But the Miri there as well does not write in terms of a Chiyuv Darais or that of a Chiyuv Darabanan. So again, so whereas, at least when it comes to Lulav Tzarech Eged, right, the Ritzvah writes a Din Darabanan, and the Ravid is Mufurish that this is a Din Daraisa, which is the Chachila. The Rambam again is very limited in terms of, right, what the Rambam tells us about Hida Mitzvah. Could very well be that according to the Rambam Shita, in the broadest sense, it's a Midas Chasidus, unless Chazal instituted a Dinim Misuyamim, like possibly in Isser Achila, the Sugim Sachem Dav Sayites that we're discussing, or Bris Mila, or the Lulav Tzarech Eged, but in the broadest sense, perhaps as a Midas Chasidus. Okay, so Tosus and Ar Sugim, Daf Lamed Hayam and Beis, Dermas Kutuba, quotes this aspect lahalacha. Tosus writes the following: that mikan mashma she'aser lishtos yayin be'erev Pesach min haminchu ulamala. Just as the Mishnah says in Sachim Daf Seites and Beis that kviyas hasud is forbidden on erev Pesach, so from our Gemara we see the same should apply when it comes to shtiyas yayin as well. Unless Tosus says you can do what as Rabbah did, the imratz lishtos serach lishtos harbe, you can drink excessive yayin. Because of tuva migra garir. But porta, that in fact should be usr, because after all, the need to see to it that achilas matzah is l'teyava. And the Mechaber quotes this Tosus lahalacha and Tav Ayin Aleph and Sif Aleph. There the Mechaber writes as well, v'yayin ma'at lo yishta mishum demesed zayin. If the Gemara says that a little bit of wine will fill you, will satiate you, so in such a case, therefore, that must be avoided. The Mechaber writes an Erev Pesach. That's the Stosus. And Daf Lamed Hey, Amad Beis. If you look in the Tur, right, the Tur in Tav Ayin Aleph, right, disagrees. The Tur writes that Yayin is Mutter, Hein Rav, Oma'at. And the Tur even writes, after all, the Yayin is Gorer Tavas Hamacho. So therefore, there is no Iser, right, of Shtiyas HaYayin and Erev Pesach. And the Torah is explicit whether you're dealing with Rav or Ma'at. So the Beis Yosef just raises the obvious question, isn't it against our Gemara? Our Gemara says if you're dealing with Tuva, Migra Garir, but that's not true if you're dealing with Purta. So how can the Torah say that it's Mutter ben Rav ben Ma'at? So the Beis Yosef just gives the following simple teretz, that according to the Torah, it's true, as our Gemara says, that Pur Tasa'id, that to some extent it does satisfy a person, but Eino Sawit Kukach Sheyosher Be'er Pesach. But not to the extent that it should create an Isser. The Mishnah in Pesachim is dealing with Kviyas Hasuda. Now that certainly is Aser. A person will not be able to eat the Matzah, the Te'avon. Not true when it comes to Yayin. Right? Even though the Gemara says that Pur Tesoit, nonetheless, Eino Soit Kukach. The Beis Yosef now is bothered. Good, I understand, but how do you read our Gemara? Right? After all, the Gemara says that Yayin is Soit. And the Gemara says, how can you say that that's true? What about the case of Rav? Well, why was that such a stir-up? So the Beis Yosef continues and says the following. The kash of the Gemara is this, from Shitos Hafuchos. Our Gemara just stated that Pur Tesoim, that Yayin is Soim, satisfies, it satiates a person. And you see from the story of Rava, that what do you mean? That in order to whet the appetite, Rava used to drink. So the Gemara is not asking the question as a direct stira, but simply extremes. Here our Gemara says that Chamra Sa'id, and you see that Rava would drink wine in order to enhance his appetite. So how could that be? Don't you see from Rava that it's Eino Soed Klal? That was the kasha of the Gemara. You wouldn't use something which is Soed in order to go ahead and to increase one's appetite. And that's the answer that the Gemara gives, that Tuva Garir Purta is Soed, but it's Soed Ksas. But Eino Chinami, it is not Soed sufficiently in order to create an Isser Achila, right, on Erev Pesach. Simply what the Beis Yosef writes in order to understand the Torah. And in fact, the Beis Yosef says that this Lachor is Meduyik of the Mishnah against our Tosos. Because the Mishnah says, Arpi Psalchim, Lo Yolchal Adam Ashetelshach. And the implication of the Mishnah is that there's an Isser Achila. But Shtia is not bound. According to Tosos, the Mishnah should tell us even more than that. Not only is there an Isser of Achila, but there should be an Isser of Shtias Yayin. Why is it that the Mishnah makes no reference to that? Because, unlike our Tosas, the Torah maintains there's no restriction whatsoever. It would appear that the Rif and the Rambam also disagree with Tosas. Because after all, the Rif and the Rambam do not quote such a Chiddush at all. Right? When Tosas says, Sha'asu lishtos yan ve'er Pesach, you don't find this in the Rif, you don't find this in the Rambam, not Lachora, right? The Diuk, that perhaps they agree with the Tur, that very different. So again, our Tosus, that's the Psak Halach of the Machaber, just pointed out the Tur is explicit, and perhaps the Diuk and the Rambam, the Rif, that the Shitos are as the Tur. If you look in Marshal, the Marshal just suggests the following Kiddush. In order to Miyashiv, the Das HaTur. The Gemara says that a little bit of wine, yes, that will fill you to an extent. But excessive wine is migra garir. So if that's true, Satosa says, you can't drink a little bit of wine on Erev Pesach. How does the Torah say that that's considered timutter? So the Marshal just adds the following, right, Kiddush, that even if a person will drink a little bit of yayin on Erev Pesach, but everyone agrees it's the Gemara, if a person will drink tuva, migra garir. So the Marshal writes the following. Well, by the time he will have his matzah, he has already will have had both of the dalam kosos, the kiddush and the kosan magid, al pidin. That already is considered to be tuva. No stira whatsoever. Simply, that's what the Marshal writes. So Eino Chinami, that Pur Tesoim, but that doesn't mean it's Aser on Erev Pesach, because on Erev Pesach, by definition, it's Tuva Garir. Because that's not all you're going to have. You're going to have a couple of kosos in addition to that. Well, the couple of kosos already opened in is considered to be tuvagaria. Apparently, according to Tosos, we don't assume that one combines the porta that one had earlier together with the first kos, together with the second kos, right, and all together is considered to be tuvagaria. But the Marshal writes, he thinks that that is poshav shat in the tour. Therefore, the Torah writes, you can drink whatever you want, because al pidin, by the time you have the matzah ready, that is called tuvagari. In principle, if whatever reason the person's not drinking any of the delicosos, so you would tell the person to avoid even drinking the smallest amount of yayin. If you look in Rav Yah, Simon Kuf Nun, the Rav Yah understands the Gemara very, very differently. When we read our Gemara, the Tuva Gari, Purta Sa'in, what exactly does Tuva and Purta mean? Right? The simple understanding of Tosos, right, is that it depends on the amount. A lot of wine is Garir, and a minimal amount of Yain is Sa'in. The Rav Yah, right, reads the line of the Gemara very differently. The Rav Yah explains, when our Gemara says that Tuva Gari, Purta Sa'in, you know what it means? That wine, right, whets the appetite, garir, tuva, significantly. That's what it means, tuva garir. It enhances the appetite significantly. The amount that it satiates, sa'id, is only porta. When a person goes ahead and drinks wine, it whets the appetite a lot, and it only satiates the person a little. That's how he reads the Teretz of the Gemara. Not that the Gemara is giving you shiurim. After all, the Gemara doesn't mention anything in terms of how much is tuvin, how much is porta. The Rav Yah writes, that's not what the sugi means at all. It's no stira, because tuva garir, it will enhance, but in terms of the appropriateness of reciting a bracha, even if it's soy porta, that requires a bracha. And the Rav Yah's explicit loshna harbe, loshna ma'at, yoser gorri mashim asbiyan. That's the phrase of the Rav Yah, that the teretz of our Gemara is that it whets the appetite more than it satiates the person. And therefore, it's no stira whatsoever. So therefore, you can certainly go ahead and drink, right, on Erev Pesach, but at the same time, in terms of here, the nusach habracha, right, it's appropriate because it is selling. So that's true. So the Torah is clear that the Gemara never meant to tell you how much wine to drink, but telling us the nature of yayin, that it is tuva gari and porta sa'in. Interesting reading of our sugya. The Gemara now goes on and says the following chiddush, that if yayin sa'id, so therefore nevarach birchas hamazon. So if it's really sa'id, so bench after yayin. The Gemara says that no, lo kavai inish suda sa'in. That no, a person normally is not kovei suda al hayayin. And therefore, Birchas HaMazon is inappropriate. We don't recite a bracha of shalosh, but rather the me'ein shalosh of al hagefen. So based on this phrase of the Gemara, Rabbi Yonah writes the following great chiddush. This Rabbi Yonah is found later. That's where the Gemara discusses that if it's Dvarim Haboim Machmas Asuda, there is no bracha. But if you have certain things which are divine habayim la'achar hasuda, at times, again, we'll have to see that sugya, and daf membeis, but if it's divine habayim la'achar hasuda, so at times, to unin bracha ben lifneihem ben la'achareihem. Sometimes you require a separate bracha rishona as well as a separate bracha achrona. Rabbi Yonah explains the following. That if, for example, the achar shesimu lechem, already the suda has ended, and all of a sudden it's la achar hasuda, a person will take something more. It's required to recite a bracha lefaneha, and at times even a bracha lachareha is well. Rabbi Yonah writes the following line: Va'amra bani tzarfas. You see from that Gemara that dvayim which haboyim la'achar hasuda tu'unin bracha lefaneu ulachareha, mehacha shaminan, the bircha shlosha eino poteres me'ein gimel. Let's say a person is supposed to recite the bracha of an al michya, but he's going to be benching afterwards. We don't assume, Rabbi Yona writes in Mechach Meitzarfas, that automatically Bircha Samazon will exempt a bracha, which is Me'ein Shalosh. Because here, if a person is eating something outside of the context of the Suda, so in such a case, you're obligated to recite a bracha Rishona as well as a bracha Achrona. So bracha Rishona, I can understand. If it's not part of the Suda, it requires a separate bracha Rishona. But in terms of the bracha Achrona, may not assume yesh b'chlam asayimana. You're going to be reciting the benching right away. Why isn't that sufficient? So Rabbi Yonah quotes the Chach Meitzarfas, Bercha Shlosha Eino Poteres Me'ein Gimel. And therefore, Rabbi Yonah writes, Im Ochol Daisa Ukayotze Bo La'achar Hamazon. If a person leave a type of Daisa, that type of cereal, after the Suda, Ein Bercha Samazon Poteres Osa. The Bercha Samazon will not exempt the Bracha Valamech. Finish. We'll have to see that soon. Then Rabbi Yonah adds the following. This only applies dafka l'shar dvarim. This only applies, for example, in such a case. Ochal daisa ukayotze b'lachar hamazon. But what happens regarding yayin? What happens if shasa yayin? Then we would assume Rabbi Yonah writes the chiddush that birchas hamazon poteres me'in gimel. And therefore, even if the Suda formally is concluded, you already said Havlanu Nevarech, and then Shasa Yayin, you don't have to recite anything more than Birchas HaMazon. It's interesting Kiddush. Even though when it comes to Daisa, yes, but not when it comes to Yayin. And Rabbi Yonah just adds the following, V'yesh Siyu Lazen, and I'll bring you a Rai that this is true. And Rabbi Yonah quotes, Ar Sugya, where the Gemara says that in principle, a person should recite Birchas HaMazon on Yayin. The only reason that you do not do so, the Gemara says, is because it's unusual to be Koveya Suda al HaYayin. But if not for that reason, in principle, Birchas HaMazon would be appropriate. So therefore, Rabbi Yonah writes the following. If a person is about to bench, there certainly is coverage of the Birchas HaYayin through the Birchas HaMazon. In principle, you should recite Birchas HaMazon. If not for the fact that a person is not Koveya Suda, but if there was a Kviyas HaSuda, even if the Yayin is Vola Achar HaMazon, in such a case, you don't recite a Bracha Me'in Gimel, but rather the Birchas HaMazon is sufficient. Well, that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Yonah. The fact that our Gemara suggests that the principle Birchas HaMazon is good, and the only reason it's not is because of Kviyas HaSuda. Rabbi Yonah writes, if you could have a case where there was a Kviyas HaSuda, but the Ayin was not associated directly with the Suda, nonetheless, right, one could be Yotze with the Birchas HaMazon. It's a very interesting Chiddush. Rabbi Yonah suggests that if a person is having Mezonos La'achar HaSuda at times, it requires its own bracha achrona, but not when it comes to the case of Yayin. Rabbi Yonah also makes this comment earlier, right, in the sugya that we saw in Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. There, that was the sugya of the mistake in brachos, where pasach adai to the A, siyam adai to the B. The Gemara mentions the following: what happens if achol tamarim? A person is eating tamarim, ukasavar nahama. And a person thought that it's lechem. That was his mindset. And achal upasach b'dinama v'siyim b'ditamrei yatsa. Even if when he began, he was thinking, A, if he concluded, b'ditamrei, he is yotze. And the Gemara goes a step further. Because afilu siyim b'dinama nami yatsa. Even if he would end b'dinama with the bracha on lechem, he would still be yotze. Why is that true? The Gemara says, "My Tamra, Tamre Name Meizan Zayne," because Tamarim are also referred to as Mazon. What exactly does the Gemara mean? What exactly is the case? So, if you look at Rabbi Yonah earlier, the Vav Mer Aleph, in the Daf Erev, the Ramaskel Inami, Rabbi Yonah interprets the case as follows. Here we're not referring to the Bracha Rishona, we're referring to the Bracha Achrona. And what happened? That instead of reciting the Bracha of Al Ha'etz, Val Pri Ha'etz, on Tamarim, a person is reciting Berachas HaMazon. So the Gemara says that you are Yotze. If a person will bench on Tamarim, Rabbi Yonah writes that one is Yotze. Rabbi Yonah continues, however, this is true when it comes to Tamarim. Masha'enkin b'shar pri shel hey minim. It's not true when it comes to the other minim, but this is true when it comes to Tamarim, because the Gemara says, Tamre, Name, Mezon, Zayne. And then Rabbi Yonah continues and writes, Rabbanei Tzarfas maintain Gam al Hayayin. And the Chachmei Tzarfas assume this is true when it comes to Yayin as well. That if instead of reciting a Bracha Val HaGefen, a person recites Birchas HaMazon, he is Yotze. Kiddush. Rabbi Yonah said earlier on Chavtes and Lebeis that a person can exempt himself from Birchas HaMazon in a case where Shosei Yayin Lachar Hasuba. Here Rabbi Yonah writes in the Vav Med Aleph and Dapi Harif that if a person just has Yayin, but he recites the wrong bracha, instead of the bracha main shalos he mentions, he would be Yotzei as well. But this is not true of everything. This is true of Yayin. And how do you know that that's the case? Rabbi Yonah there, and above the Daf Yarif, cites our Gemara. Because our Gemara says that, Nun, Nevarach la Birchas HaMazon. The Gemara says, in principle, benching would be appropriate on Yayin. The Gemara answers that no, because they'll cover Suda Lion. Rabbi Yonah writes that since it is in principle appropriate, but Yevin, in fact, one would be Yotzei. In fact, Rabbi Yonah goes a step further and writes that Yayin seems to be more obvious than Tamarim. Because when the Gemara and Daf Yud Beis said that if Siyam Bidnahama Yatza, the Gemara did not ask the Kasha of our Gemara. The Gemara there in Daf Yud Beis didn't all of a sudden ask, well, if that's true, why don't you bench on Tamarim? Here, when the Gemara said that Yayin is Soed, the Gemara says, so recite a full Birchas HaMazon. And the Gemara had to answer the teretz of Kfiyas HaSuda. So Rabbi Yonah writes just the Kal Vachomer, that you see that the link between benching and Yayin is stronger than Tamarim in benching. And yet, if the Gemara writes in Daf Yud Beis that Siyam B'dinah HaMayatza, the same thing is true when it comes to Yayin. So that's Rabbi Yonah's twofold Chiddush. From the Shach Levitari of our sugya, you see that number one, that in a case where Shosei Yayin La'achar HaSuda, when it's Yotzei through Birchas HaMazon, that's Rabbi Yonah Daf Chavtes and Beis, and Rabbi Yonah earlier in Daf Vav and Aleph, that B'dievet, if a person recites Birchas HaMazon, on Yayin, he is Yotzei. It's not an irrelevant bracha. The Gemara suggests that here it should work. This Rabbi Yonah is against the Ran. The Ran, right, is found in Psachim in a very different context. If you look in the Rif, right, in Arvi Psachim, Davchav Dalad Amad Aleph, in Dapei Arif, there the Rif discusses the following. Dalet Kosos. What do you do about a bracha achrona when it comes to Dalet Kosos? Very unclear. Unclear in the Gemara regarding a bracha rishona. Unclear in the Gemara regarding bracha achrona. Well, obviously you recite the bracha Baruch Pri Hagafen when it comes to Kiddush. And obviously you recite a bracha Baruch Pri Hagafen for the third kos, benching, what we always do. But a fundamental machlok is there a birchas hayayin, a bracha rishona, on the second kos and the fourth kos? Or should we assume that kos 1 covers kos 2, kos 3 covers kos 4? And what do you do when it comes to bracha achrona? So the Rif quotes two dayos regarding bracha achrona. The Rif writes the following in Pesachim Chav Dalam and Aleph, the Nikaman Damar, Lo Mevarchin and Elabasav. You only recite one bracha achrona after the last kos. In Vikaman Damar, another possibility, the Rif writes, is now on kos 2 and kos 4. And that's the Pesach of the Rif. The Rif writes that you recite the bracha, main shalosh, on the second kos as well as on the fourth kos. So the Baal HaMor objects, right, to this possibility of the Rif. The Baal HaMor writes, what do you mean? You're going to recite a bracha achrona on kos 2? What do you mean? You're going to bench. And birchas hamas on potrasa. So why would you recite the bracha of Alan Geffen now? You're going to have your matzah, your suit, and you're going to bench. The fourth, obviously, there's nothing to exempt it. That's the kasha, the Baal HaMor. So if you look in the Ran, Chavdalam and Alphim Dapi Rif and Safin Dramasu Bulahinian, the Ran writes the following, that Ein Zenachon. That certainly is not true. And the Ran writes the opposite of what you find in Rabbi Yonah. That even if the Gaonim maintain that benching can exempt a bracha me'ein shalosh, lo amru kein ela bidvarm shamazon kedaisa. That's only true when it comes to mazonos, for example, or even when it comes to tamarim. Because the Gemara said, and daf yebeis amalaf and brachos, that afilu siyem bin nahamanami atza. But certainly not when it comes to yayin. The Ran writes that yayin is lower in the scale, and therefore you would not argue that you will exempt the birchas hayayin with birchas hamazon. And that's why the Rif maintains that you have to recite the Nala Geffen after the second kos. The raya that Rabbi Yonah brings again is from the kasha of our Gemara. You should recite Birchas HaMazon. Yeah, but the Ran will point out, but the maskanas HaGemara is that no, lo kavi inish alas tadaso. The maskanas HaGemara is there's no link at all. When you have mezonos, as we'll see, there's a possibility of kviyas hasudan mezonos. When it comes to yayin, our Gemara says there's no kviyas hasudan on yayin. The Gemara says even if a person attempts to do so, our Gemara says batla daita iso kaladam. The Ran understood that to mean lamaskana, that one would not be yotzei at all. Ad kadei kach, that at the seder night, right, the person would be obligated to recite a bracha me'ein shalosh on yayin after kos tu, and the birchas hamazon is not going to help for that independent shtia. That also is the Hasagas Arayvin. There in Psach and Avchav Dal and Dal Be'arif, that Birchas HaMazon is not sufficient to exempt the Me'ein Shalosh regarding Ayin. Again, the Rai of Rabbi Yonah is from the Gemara's Kasha. Rabbi Yonah assumes that even the Maskana, the Teretz of the Gemara, does not reject the link. The Gemara just says that you require a Kriyas HaSuda in order to have a Chiyuv of Birchas HaMazon. But either if there was a kviyas hasuda, yayin la'achar hamazon, or if a person in error recited birchas hamazon, you are yotze against the Rav. The Mechaber in Reish Ches in Sif Yud Zayin paskens like this view of Rabbi Yonah, that if birich al hayayin, Birchas HaMazon Yatsa. And the Chavar passes like Rabbi Yonah against Iran. That B'diyabin, if a person did in fact recite Birchas HaMazon on Yayin, he is Yotze. And Rabbi Yonah's Raya again from our Gemara. So if you look in Bir Halacha, the Bir Halacha raises the following difficulty. The Mechaber writes categorically, Birech al hayayin birchas hamazon yatsa. The Bir Halacha writes, wait a second. Shouldn't this depend on the amount of wine that you drink? meaning that if it's purta, then sayin, then you're right. But if it's tuva, the Gemara says migra garir. So the Bir Halacha suggests, how can the Mechaber say that your yotzei if you bench after drinking wine? One should argue that's only true if shasa purta. But if shasa tuva, migra garir, and therefore you should not be yotzei at all. In a case of tuva, we should say lo yotza. Interesting kasha. The Bir Halacha writes the following chiddush, that apparently you have to assume that if shasa purta, already at that point in time, purta sa'id, and birchas hamazon could cover, so that will not change if subsequently he drinks a little bit more. Sulopaka. That's the chiddush that the Bir Halacha writes. Once a person will have a little bit of yayin, in such a case, then we assume purta sa'id, in which case birchas hamazon is appropriate. So therefore it will exempt even if subsequently he drinks more. It's a chiddush, the Mishabur writes, that kevan shenischayim misha shesha purta. So therefore, sula paka. Sula paka. The Chazon Ish points out, this is found in Siman Lamed Aleph, in Sivkat and Vav, the Chazon Ish writes, it doesn't sound that way from our Gemara at all. The only time Birchas HaMazon would exempt is if you have a little and not a lot. Is that really the case? And the only reason that one is exempted if you have a lot is because Yesh Bechlam Asayim Mana, you began with a little. The Chazon Ish writes, he finds that very difficult in Teretz of Mishnah. So good, Shasa Purta, but what about the subsequent Shtiyah? How is that exempted? And furthermore, the Chazon Ish points out, how does it fit with our Gemara? Because what does our Gemara say? If Yain Sa'id, so in such a case, the Gemara says, why not bench? The answer is no. There's no chi of a Birchas HaMazon, because people are not kovei suda al hayayin. That's not a normal thing to do. So what's the next kasha of the Gemara? The Gemara says that Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rava, and e kovei suda samai. And what if he would be kovei suda? What does that mean? If he would be kovei suda, but presumably it means. And what if a person would make yayin the mainstay of the meal? L'chora that means tuva, no? And what if a person would drink a lot? If really in principle, yes. And the only reason is because it's not that normal to drink in such excess. And if a person should drink in excess, then what? So what is the Gemara answer? Batla daita isa kol adam. We don't have to consider such a possibility. It's not normal. Right? The Gemara should answer the opposite according to the Kashya of Mishnah Berurah. No? If a person is drinking a lot, then migra garir, and that birchas hamazon is not appropriate. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara seems to assume in principle that's true, but we don't consider that to be a proper kviyas hasuda because batla daitzei sokalam seems to indicate that, you know what, if we just look at him, you're right, but we're not going to set up the whole system, right, with every individual's kpeda. Generally speaking, a person is not kovei suda. If Mishnah Berurah is tying against the Shulchan Aruch is correct, one should argue that no, that the more one is kovei suda, there should be less coverage for Birchas HaMazon. So again, the Chazon Ish points out even the teretz of the Bir Halacha is very difficult. And that's why the Mechaber is so saying that Birchas HaMazon could cover generally, whether it is purta or whether it's considered to be tuva. When it comes to the appropriateness of Birchas HaMazon, there we we don't look at the individual shtir, but rather, if you are eating that which the Gemara says is meza b'soid, that could warrant a berachas hamazon. In other words, yayin soid, so therefore that is sufficient. And that's why the Machaber quotes that categorically, that if berach al hayin berachas hamazon yotza, and not as, again, the Mishnah Berurah suggests, that it should depend on how much the person eats or drinks. When you're discussing whether a person is full or whether he is not, in order to appreciate matzah, eating matzah l'teyavam, then it's true. Then the impact of how much you're eating is considered to be significant. If it's going to make you more hungry, so therefore that's not a violation of matzah l'teyavam. But in terms of determining whether one could be yotzi with berachas hamazon, there the Gemara just simply says that yayin sayin. And that the Mechaber assumes is true, right? Regardless of whether it is a minimum amount or whether it's excessive. That's what the Mechaber writes in all cases, the berach hayin, berachas hamazon. When is yotzi? So again, the chiddush of Rabbi Yonah writes that you see from our Gemara, in principle, the appropriateness of Birchas HaMazon, right, when it comes to Yayin. And the two Chidushim you pointed out to Rabbi Yonah, right, and Daf Chav Tes, that if it's associated with the Suda, even Dvarim HaBayim La'achar HaSuda, Birchas HaMazon will exempt. And the Rabbi Yonah in the Sugi and Daf Yaveis, that B'di'evin, if a person will go ahead and bench after drinking wine, b'di'evin, he's yotzi against the chiddush of the Rambam. If you look in Rabbi Yonah goes even a step further. Rabbi Yonah writes the following. If a person recites Birchas HaMazon al hayayin, what is yotzi? Why is that true? Because after all, just like the Gemara writes in Daf Yud Beis, Tamari Mezon Zayin. And the Gemara here says that yayin, soid. So therefore, even though we lack kviyas asuda, but b'di'evet one in fact would be yotze. Therefore, Rabbi Yonah writes, if birich, birchas hamazon al hayayin yotze. Rabbi Yonah adds the following chiddush. Va'afilu lo amar ela birchas hazan yotze. Further chiddush. When I say, Rabbi Yonah writes, that if you bench on yayin you're yotze, it means even if you don't bench fully, even if all you recited was the bracha rishona, the bracha sazan, when is yotze? After all, why is that true? Rabbi Yonah explains, because after all, kevan to me tam shein mazan amina diyotze. Why do I say yotze? I say yotze because the Gemara says that tamarim yayin mezan soyin. If that's true, so as long as you mention the bracha sazan, one in fact would be yotzi. Interesting chiddush. It's a chiddush al gabi chiddush, Rabbi Yonah. Number one, you're yotzi with birchas hamazon. Number two, you're yotzi with an incomplete birchas hamazon. Even that is sufficient. If you look in Mishnah Berurah writes this somewhat differently. Lachora doesn't sound that way from Rabbi Yonah, but Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Reish Ches, in Sivkot and Ayin Ches, the following. What happens in that case in the Machaber? A person all of a sudden finds himself benching after drinking Ayin. Mishabur writes the following. Im Amar Birchas Hazan, Shuv Ein Yachal Omar HaBrachos HaNosaris. That's all you should say. Stop after Hazan Esako. Because after all, the other brachos were not Niskana alayayin balat mariyim. So even though we pass in b'di'evet your yotzei because of the bracha of hazan, and if at that point in time a person realizes, oh, what did I do? I was supposed to recite nala gefen, he should stop there. Doesn't sound that way from Rabbi Yonah. Sounds from Rabbi Yonah that b'chadchila, obviously, mein gemur. But a person who recites brachas hamazon, that's fine. If b'di'evet, a person only recited the Berchas Hazan, minimally he in fact is yotze. The Shabur writes he shouldn't recite anything more. After Hazan HaSakol, he realizes that, oop, this was yayin, I didn't wash, he should stop here and there. this added chiddush of Rabbi Yona, that not only if birech al hamazon yatsa, but if birech birchas hazan yatsa, that's a much greater chiddush. Because after all, we will learn that isn't more required not only of birchas hamazon, but isn't more required even of a bracha achas main shalosh. True, it's brachachas, but it's mehein shalosh. It's necessary lahazkir ha'aretz. It's necessary to be mazkir Yerushalayim. That's critical for brachachas mehein shalosh. How can Rabbi Yonah maintain that not only are yotzi if you bench on yayin, but yotzi even with the first bracha of benching for yayin? Good, the reason you can be yotzi is because Muslim the sign. Yeah, but what type of bracha is that? If a person were to recite half of the bracha achas min shalosh without being mazkir, it's Yisrael, Yerushalayim, he would not be yotzei. So how could he be yotzei with that? So the Chazanish suggests the following possibility. This is found in Siman Lamed Aleph and in Siv Katan Dalet. The Chazanish writes this. Why is it? If a person will leave out any mention of Eretz Yisrael or Yerushalayim in a bracha of an ala michir, ala gefir, not yotzei, why is that true? It's not because that in principle the hazkar is le'ikuvah, but rather failure to mention the birchas ha'aretz or Yerushalayim is mishanei mabeya shetavu l'chachamim. There is no such surah sabracha. And that is insufficient. Even what we discussed yesterday. When do you assume that kol ha-mishan is din l'chadchila, whether it's b'di'evet? It can be a din l'chadchila if you're mishan and abe'a shetob b'chachamim, but it is me'ein ha'inyan. You say something completely different, you're not going to be yotzei. You have to push the right buttons. You have to accentuate, acknowledge the theme, even if you change the nusach. So the Chazanish suggests the following chiddush. If a person will recite the bracha me'ein shalosh, which is not me'ein shalosh, all he mentions is the first part. But there's no allusion to the bracha of ha'aretz l'hamazon. No allusion to bonei Yerushalayim. That is mishana b'yashatov v'chachamim. And therefore, you are not going to be yotzei with it. However, Rabbi Yonah's case is somewhat different. In Rabbi Yonah's case, the bracha that was recited, the entire first bracha, the Berachas Hazan, that has the Tzuras HaBracha. That was Kamo Shetiknu HaChachamim. There, one can suggest, as Rabbi Yonah maintains, that the second and third bracha is not li'ikuvah. If a person is obligated to bench, it's li'ikuvah. If a person is not doing so, but by mistake, right, he is reciting birchas hamazon al hayayin. And the reason that b'di'evet that's good according to Rabbi Yonah is because after all, sins, tamarim meizon zayne, and our Gemara says yayin sa'im, so b'di'evet that is considered to be sufficient, as long as that is covered in the Nusach HaBracha, and as long as one is not Mishanei Mabeya Shetov HaChamim, then in fact one is Yotzei. So it's a little unusual. An abridged Alamichi would not be Yotzei, or an abridged Birchas HaYayin, but with the abridgment of the Birchas HaMazon, maintaining the first Bracha with its own integrity, its intact. In such a case, one in fact could be Yotzei. Interesting Kiddush. But again, that's the Rabbi Yonah, the diuk of our Gemara. The fact that the Gemara suggests the appropriateness of Birchas HaMazon HaYayin, even though the Gemara rejects it l'chadchila, because we're not koveya sudo HaYayin, but b'di'evin, Birchas HaMazon would be appropriate in the two contexts of Rabbi Yonah, Chavtes and Vav. And the further chiddush al gabei chiddush Rabbi Yonah, and that is that even if all you recited is the first of Birchas HaMazon, the Birchas HaZon, even with that, you'll be yotzei as well. Again, it's the chiddush of the Ran, where the Ran writes you would not be yotzei at all, and that's how the Ran explains the sheet of the Rif, why a bracha l'achre is necessary for the second of the delicacies. Okay. The Gemara continues now, the Flamin Hamad Beis, right, and discusses the case of Shemen. The Gemara writes, when it comes to Shemen Zayis, some of Harachin Allah Bore Prihayis. The Gemara is not very bothered. What exactly is the case of Bore Prihayis and Shemen Zayis? The Gemara says that Hefidami. If we're talking about a case of simply that a person is drinking Shemen, the Gemara says, Ozuki Masikle. That is considered to be Ozuki Mazik. And the Gemara quotes the following Braisa, that if this would be truma, a person is shoses shemen shel truma, he doesn't have to pay chomesh. All he has to pay is keren. The Tosas Rashi even writes that chiyuv keren is only drabanan. There's no full chiyuv tashlumin for shtia shemen. So if that's true, why would there be a bracha for pi'aitz? So it can't be drinking the shemen straight. The Gemara says, and if you say it's mixed, you have a further problem. If it's ayidei pas, so pas is ikar, you should not be reciting a bracha bar peyitz. And even if it's ayidei anigron, so the Gemara says the anigron of the ikar. In such a case, again, it would not be a bracha bar peyitz. So where do you have a case that there is shemen, which is bitaruvos, where the shemen is the ikar, that then you should recite a bracha b'rei pi'aretz? So the Gemara says, a case of choshesh b'grona. You can have a case of choshesh b'grona. The way Rashi describes, we'll see the other Rishonim, it means in that case, there's an abundance of shemen. And in that instance, the shemen is ikra, the anigron is tafel. Well, that's the case, to go ahead and to recite a bracha b'rei pi'aretz. The Gemara says, isn't that pshita? If that's what you're talking about a taruvos where the shemen is the ikar, so of course you make a bracha b'repeitz. The Gemara says, no, it's not so obvious. Because this combination that you have, as Rashi explains, where the shemen is in abundance, this is because of chosh b'grono. And since it is for the purpose of refuah, maybe you would say that it's not the case. The Gemara says, no, kevin de ispehana by bruche, and therefore the bracha is where it begins. So again, what exactly is each stage of this sunya? The Gemara begins, it cannot argue it's talking about a case of shasile the shemen, because if that's the case, azuke mazikle, azuke mazikle. Therefore what? So Rashi comments as follows, what is azuke mazik? It means lagufe. It means you're harming yourself. And therefore what? Rashi says, Ve'ein zu achila, shetu'una bracha. This is not considered to be the caliber of achila that requires a bracha. And Rashi writes again, Ve'gabe bracha ve'achalta ksir. And when it comes to a bracha, the pasuk says, Ve'achalta. Rashi says, when the Gemara says azuki mazik, it means mazik es adam. This is harmful to the person. And therefore, you don't recite a bracha, means you don't recite any bracha. Not only you should not recite the bracha bar piya eitz, which is the context of the Gemara, how can you recite any bracha at all? This is not considered to be the quality of achil that is ever mechayev a bracha. This is the view of Rav Rishonim. When the Gemara says azuki mazik, it means it's harmful to the person. And therefore, the assumption of the Gemara is that no bracha should be recited at all. That's what the Rif writes in the Chafei Amar Aleph and Daf Erev, Rabbi Yonah, the Ritva, and the Mechaber and Siman Reish Beis paskens again as this Rashi, that in the case of Shtiyas HaShemen, no bracha is recited whatsoever. The Rishonim also quote another possibility, Yesh Mefarshim. This is quoted in the Ra'ah and quoted in the Ritva in our Sugya. That when a person drinks shemen, that eino nehene min hashemen, that is not considered to be hana. And therefore, if it's not considered to be a form of hana, therefore, Adam mazik umafsid es hashemen. Uzuke mazik means not that necessarily you're harming yourself. Since there is no benefit from that which you're doing, so therefore that is considered to be mazik es ha'ochel. Not mazik es ha'adam. Uzuke mazik does not mean, as Rashi writes, legufe, but rather, since there is no benefit in what you are doing, so you're wasting, you're ruining the shemen. And there is no bracha. Pashab Shaka was driving the Zi of Yesh Mefarshim, is if the Gemara meant to say, as far as Adam is concerned, why do you have to go that far? The only reason that there's no bracha is because of Zuki Masik, because it's harmful to the person. That's why you're exempt from a bracha. The Yesh Mefarshim simply understood that, what do you mean? If Eino Nehene Mihashkiya, there's no Chiyu Bracha. Kol HaNehene Blo Bracha Kilama. If a person is not Nehene, there's no Chiyu Bracha. When you read the Gemara as Rashi, somehow you get the impression as though that this is a Ptur Bracha because Mazik. Boshav Shat, the Yesh Mefarshim, one doesn't have to go that further. If there isn't any Hana, so in such an instance, there's no Chiyu Bracha. And that's why Pashup Shat they interpret differently. That is, since Eino Nehne Min Hashkia, Mazik means that Mazik is Ochel, like in Truma. If a person is Nehne Meha Truma, one is Chayiv in Tashlumei Chomesh. But Kiyochel, as Rashi points out, Prat LaMazik. What does that mean, Kiyochel Prat LaMazik? A person will go ahead and be Mazik, Mechal of the Kedushas HaTruma. So in such a case, in that instance, what is that chayim? If you look in the Rambam, as we discussed earlier, the Rambam writes the following. In Hilchos Brachos Parches Halacha Beis, the Rambam writes that a person is lo nehene mitam hashemin. That's what the Rambam stresses. You have to take a look in the Rambam. We'll discuss this at length tomorrow. The Rambam doesn't mention mazik at all. The Rambam writes that lo nehene mitam hashemin. You're not benefiting from the Tam HaShemin. And therefore, the Rambam writes, you cannot recite the bracha of Borei Pri Ha'etz. But the Rambam does write, you're required to recite the bracha Shako. That's the Yichidish of the Rambam. The Rambam does not mention Mazik at all. The Rambam says, you're not being nehne from the Tam HaShemin, but some form of bracha is in fact necessary. This was one of the indicators, as we pointed out, about the two tiers of bracha, mati or shevach. The Rambam writes, this whole issue that our Gemara raises, to what extent one is or is not being fully nehne, that's a reason to assume that a bracha mufuretes is not necessary. But some type of acknowledgement, some type of matir is, and therefore the Rambam writes a great chiddush that the bracha shahako is recited. But again, take a look more carefully at the Rambam. That's what we'll have to discuss tomorrow. So we'll pick up with the following. In the case of mazik, like the view of Rov Rishonim, simply, a person is drinking in a fashion that he's causing harm to himself, and therefore no bracha is recited at all. So Rashi writes it's based on the pasuk. Based on the pasuk of Achaltus, is not considered to be achila. Again, interesting, obviously, regarding the bracha Rishona, there is no pasuk. Rashi means birchas hamazon. So again, it's somewhat of a jump that in birchas hamazon al hapas, the pasuk is Achalta, and that should transfer to a bracha Rishona, which should also transfer to a bracha Rishona al hashemin. If you look, for example, in the Rosh Yosef, in our sugi, the Prima Gadim wants me to daik from Rashi, that according to Rashi, the bracha achas me'ein shalosh is daraisa. That v'achalta is not limited only to pas. It applies even to an alamichya, or alagefen, or alpri ha'etz. And therefore, if the bracha daraisa requires achila, that is also true of the bracha lifaneha. that would require achila as well. After all, the Gemara had a kama chomer. If you look in the other Rishonim, so take a look again at the Meiri in our sugya, take a look at Rabbi Yonah in our sugya. They explained the Gemara similar to Rashi, right, that this is mazik and therefore there's no bracha, but they give different reasons why this in fact should be true. Rashi links it on the word achila. Right, this is not considered to be achila because it's mazik legufe. You look in Rabbi Yonah will couch it differently, take a look, as well as in the Meiri. We'll have to see these nuances, and then take a look again at the Shitas HaRambam, right, where the Rambam writes that doesn't exempt you from a bracha legamrei, but just from the specific bracha of Borei Pri Hayetz. In that context of the Rambam, take a look carefully. The Rambam mentions cases of Anigron, mentions all the possibilities of our Gemara as well. Each one we'll have to discuss. Okay, so we'll pick up tomorrow's Shir, right, with Vashi and the Shitas HaRambam. Maybe that's just a Tosus rice, doing the mitzvah yourself as opposed to Shomei Ka'one is either the mitzvah.
Yeah.
You don't find that necessarily when it comes to.
You already turned it off?